Hello and welcome to the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Joined as always by James, how are you?
Glad to be here.
Very well, thank you. And Muzz is warming up. He'll be joining us for the League One and League Two episodes this week. So, reverted back to the usual format, one episode per division, Championship, League One and League Two. This week, because there's no league fixtures this weekend coming up, what we'll do is we'll just take a look back at the fixtures that were at the weekend there and potentially a quick prediction for how we think the Championship teams will fare in the Premier Sports Cup fixtures this weekend. James, an interesting set of results in the Championship last weekend?
Largely predictable, I would say, although not really sure how we did predict them.
Well, looking at
I'd say potentially Morton's the one that'll throw you, but other than that, you know, almost as expected.
It's interesting that you bring up the predictions here because I was just looking through them just before we started to record. You predicted an Arbroath win, which was a draw. You've predicted a Partick win, which was correct, an Inverness win, which was correct, Kilmarnock win, which was correct, and you've also predicted Hamilton. So 3 out of 5 for you, 60% record.
I will say on the Partick game, though, that I predicted when I, but I didn't predict the scoreline. So,
I want to actually touch on that game with you. But before that, just as we came on to record there, the news at Hamilton that Brian Rice resigned. Obviously, they got off to a bit of a sticky start in the cup games, and in the drawn with Albion Rovers, for example. They were close to knocking Livingston out. Like, if their goal difference, I think, had been slightly better, they'd have gone through instead of Livy. Obviously, 4-4. Opening day of the season, coming back from 4-0 down. He then recruited Virton in, as I think I'd mentioned to you. Obviously, Josh Mullen came in just prior to the game at the weekend. They lost 1-0 to Morton, but I'm surprised that he's chosen to resign at this early stage.
Yeah, just thinking there, I don't know if there's anywhere, like any clubs, that would have particularly close ties to that are.
It's interesting because Hamilton,
Toilet that would get him in, like as a technical director or director
Hamilton
of football. Like,
has
he been pushed or is it going to be a proper resignation? Like,
well, Hamilton turned down Falkirk in the summer, didn't they? When Falkirk approached before they appointed Sheeran, they tried to speak to Rice. And is it worrying then potentially for Hamilton fans that he's seen the squad of players and is thinking they might struggle? But like I say, to bring in Mullen and things, the board were obviously backing him, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think backing him to the extent that they gave him pretty much, knowing they were going down, gave him a new deal. It would surprise me if anyone at Hamilton thought that they weren't going to take the drop or weren't edging ever closer to the drop last season when they offered him that new deal. So they must have had in their minds, this is a guy to take us forward. And I think their recruitment's been quite good, but yeah, I just can't see why, really, unless there's been some sort of falling out or... Yeah, it's one of those ones that you don't know what's going on behind the scenes or if he's going to all of a sudden pop up somewhere, but...
Looking at that,
I think there's that squad, much as I complained about like their youth prospects and things and their reliance on it, it's not the worst squad you'll see in the Championship. It's competitive.
See, looking at their 11, 11 and bench potentially from Saturday, obviously Ryan Fulton and goals is solid enough. In defence, although they didn't all play, you've got the likes of Easton, Juan, McMahon, Jamie Hamilton, who's obviously very highly regarded, Kieran McDonald, who came in from Rafe, middle of the park, you've now got Josh Mullen, Virton in, Lewis Smith, even Lewis Spence they've just brought in, and they've got goals at the top end, Randy Ryan, Templeton. So it's an interesting one. It's maybe one of those ones we'll never actually find out what happened, but when I saw it coming through, I was like, that's a bit of a surprise. They thought if he was going to go, it would have been in the summer.
Looking at that squad as well, it's not... I wondered if it was maybe been met with like unrealistic demands and things, but of the players you've mentioned, there's an element of young players there, but it's not... I wouldn't say it's like the Hamilton board are forcing them, like, you have to play 3 young players in your 11, like you're starting 11, because we want to progress them as fast as we can and then sell them on. I think looking at that 11 just now, Stanger and Hamilton, I think, are the only ones I would classify as being like young.
Potentially Lewis Smith as well.
Smith, yeah, I think he's 21. So you're looking at like, you've got 24, 25-year-olds in there. Yeah, so maybe you are saying Stanger, Hamilton, Smith. But they're still good players. Like, they would go into a lot of other teams in that division, or they'd be in and about the squad anyway. So it's not like he's having to promote from within. I don't know how much of that he would want to do, because his first choice isn't there or thereabout. Like, Brian Easton, you would imagine, should potentially
be starting. He was on the bench. Again, we don't know if that's an offer.
So stuff like that makes me wonder. And I don't know if you just want to segue straight into the Hamilton game, but
yeah.
I put on Twitter that I think Josh Mullen would be a great signing, but by all accounts, from what I've seen, he came on and didn't really have a position. And be interested in anyone that was at the game to tell me I'm wrong, but from everything I've seen or heard, he just sort of came on and was like, right, you're the creative spark, just go for it. And it would be a good signing. That's not his game. He's not a playmaker. He's not a creative midfielder that can float about. Get him on the wing, get a ball in behind, and he'll put a cross in. That's where you want him. So
he's chopping the boots.
Price, his head's gone, and if his head has gone and he's not really invested, why are we now waiting until Tuesday for the recognition, Wednesday for the resignation?
You wonder if, obviously, with them being knocked out the cup, it's obviously, as we were speaking about, they're not playing again now, are they, till the 21st? So they've now got, 10, 11 days to maybe get their house in order and see what's going to happen. But like you say, why has he not done it on, you know, Monday, Sunday? Unless he's had a meeting with the board and things have kind of come ahead. But we won't speculate. Great result for Murray, which obviously none of us saw coming because none of us have predicted it. But solid 1-0 win from Morton. Ugwu and the goals again.
Yeah, and by all accounts, it does seem relatively straightforward. Quite a tough place, you would imagine, Hamilton, to go to. You should have, like, if I'm a player or a manager, I'm going, right, Hamilton, and they've got that reputation of being a bit of nothingness because they've been sort of on the downward or the sort of low boil in the Premiership. You think, right, they're not particularly great, but you imagine some of those players that were standing out for Hamilton or then playing in the Championship, or you've recruited boys like Andy Ryan, who comes with a reputation. Josh Mullen obviously has come down from a Premiership team. Morton should have gone there actually with the headspace where they're not a nothing team. They're not at the low boil anymore. They should be contenders in that in that division, but they seem to have not been phased at all, Morton. Gone out, rolled out just the same way you would expect them to. A relatively straightforward team and, yeah, a good account of themselves.
All right, and he's recruited not many players, McPherson, but the ones that he has recruited, the likes of Lithgow, solid spine of that team. And my only concern for them is they look to have a solid 12, 13, 14 players maybe, but obviously with Blues now taking a red card, that's a suspension. So my only concern for Morton in this early stage is that they lose a few players to kind of injuries and suspension because the squad's relatively tight. I'm just going back to actually, Muzz had them bottom, didn't he? And you had them second bottom. Solid start for them with that draw away at Dunfermline. But what does I want to come on to that game that you predicted correctly, but not in the manner that you thought you'd predict correctly. The Paddock Thistle, top of the league. For hell, for thrills, although it was in Fife, I think.
Yeah, it was at Dunfermline. Which again is another sort of daunting task if you're Paddock Thistle, because the fans have an air of expectation, and Muzz and I derided Falkirk constantly for believing they should be higher than they are. Partick fall into that category as well, but you go to Dunfermline, especially, I don't know what attendance had at Dunfermline.
It was 2000. I don't know the breakdown of Partick. I don't know if maybe Dunfermline took 1,500. I'm not sure that, but I know they had the 2,000 in the ground. I think that was the maximum they were allowed at the stage.
Well, having been there with a larger attendance, you can still see 2,000 fans making some sort of noise, so it's not like they're just going to wait to play in a tatty field. Like, Partick will have gone to that, I think, with some sort of a bit of trepidation, but by all accounts they were sort of 2-0 up and within 25 minutes and seemed to be home and hosed by then.
Well, he seems to have settled. Just looking at it, it was a clash of styles, wasn't it? Because Grant seems to have settled on like a 3-4-3 at Dunfermline with Dom Thomas. I think he's got the armband, centre midfield, kind of doing what he wants. Very fluid, you know, interchanging. Whereas Ian McCall traditionally is a back four, a four in front or a three in front, and then a two or a three up top. And it's that midfield three we've spoken about, isn't it? Of Bannigan, Turner, and Dockett, who obviously scored. Those three are solid. And then he's had the likes of Tiffany in there, Zach Rudden and Brian Graham. So, and even their bench, Cammy Smith, Connor Murray, McIver, they're looking decent part of the
game. And there's something to me about Dennis Mehmet playing as well for Dunfermline. It makes me a bit apprehensive because you could see they were very defensively solid. But for me, so they defensively solid last season, but for me, he's not the signing that's going to do the same thing.
He's dropped Fun Williams to the bench.
Won't bring him in. Yeah, Fun Williams, fine, good goalkeeper. Right. But bringing Mehmet, who again has potentially got a higher, I don't know, does he have a higher pedigree? Have a higher level of experience, arguably, more recently? But
Fun Williams has been in Wales squads. Do you think it's because he thinks Mehmet can play out? Allegedly.
Yeah, potentially, but why, you know, dance with the one that brung you? They did so well last season. Aye. To be defensively solid. You know, they've obviously lost some players, but I will say on the flip side, like you say, that structure at Partick is again quite solid. Aye, really like to see the loan market used so well.
And it'll
I was wondering, how do you fit in Tiffany and Graham, who are sort of proven goal scorers, and Rudden, who always had the potential to be a goal scorer? How do you fit all them in? But he just seems to have done it.
And I fear a wee bit for Dunfermline, who go to Ibrox on Friday against the Rangers side, but a point to prove that could be interesting, because it's not in Grant's nature to set his teams up kind of to defend or a low block or anything like that. So that'll be one of interest. Potentially, I thought game of the day was at Ayr, where Arbroath looked to be kind of home and hosed, didn't they? They're 2-0 up, missed a penalty at 2-0, Nicky Lowe. And Ayr have come back to take the point, to share the point, sorry. Big Joe Newbley off the mark.
Does that not just sum up though why Arbroath have the potential to not be particularly high? Mm-hmm. As I say, rapidly trying to see where I've predicted it. But I think that almost factors into your reason, because they do have the potential to go both ways, you know, up the park and defensively, but also have a calamity. So for me, it's not a surprise really that they've let those two goals in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they're always at risk of that. They've got some good players, but again, I don't know if they're good as a unit. Like, if you take some of the individual players they've got and put them in other teams, I think absolutely they'll be fine. But I think when you start playing them all together and you're relying on all these players together, they maybe don't,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't inspire you as much as they could. But again, an Ayr team, though, that isn't really as convincing as it could be.
I'm just amazed at the height, because they've started McGinty, Baird and Fjortoft at the back, and then at half-time they've brought on Aaron Muirhead. He's an interesting one to be bringing on at 2-0 down, to be bringing on a centre-half for an attacking player. He's obviously rejigged the shape and it's obviously worked for them, but I think it highlights how, for all you say, it shows how Arbroath might struggle. For me, it shows how Ayr might toil as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. And then another one you've predicted, right? I'm just going to keep your bandwagon rolling here. I think they left it late, didn't they? Inverness to beat Raith Rovers.
Yeah.
80th minute, wasn't it? 1-0.
Again,
it was absolutely screaming.
Cast
as well,
my mind back to work out what I'd said about the game, because I think my worries for Inverness were potentially their, I think some of the players have got a wee bit of inexperience about them, or are a wee bit soft in the attack. But I'm beginning to not be as convinced as I was with Raith Rovers last season. For almost gave them the sort of free-flowing attacking football, like relentless push forward. I don't know if we'll see that. I don't know if they've lined up the same way. I think
just on that, they've brought in, after conceding four, they've brought in Tom Lang, centre-half from Clyde. He came in. It looks as though he's playing the back three with Berra and Benedictus. Tumulty and Dick Wide, Matthews and Tate sitting. And then Zanata, Poplatnik and Connolly as a front three. Now, Vaughan wasn't in the squad at all. So he's obviously been injured, but if he wanted to keep the same shape, he's got the likes of James Keatons that he could have maybe done a like for like. He's obviously Vaughan's dropped out and he's chosen to bring a centre-half in, but having conceded four, you can fully understand that.
But if you want to play attacking football, where you just push on it, folk can get on at them all the time, then I'm also not against just playing a three, because mm-hmm. you can feel comfortable just having a foundation of three, and you can bring your wing-backs in if you want to give you that five.
See, as whereas, a...
As rather a than having fan. Like a foundation of four, because you often see, like, looks like this Inverness team are playing one up, so it often looks like you're sitting in with back four just to mark one guy or pass one guy about, whereas I think the way that Wraith could play or played last season would be fine with a three, because you've got that foundational three and then it's just attack from the rest. But see, I think Planet won't play as quickly as you want. I think Zanata won't play as quickly as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just don't see them, because for me, Deez is still a wee bit untested. Broadfoot is a bit long in the tooth. Like, there's a defence to be getting at, and I'm not sure they did.
And see for me, if I was a Wraith fan, I'd be, and I don't know if he played in there, but I'd be happy with Berra in the middle of a three as a Wraith absolutely. Fan.
Yeah.
It's the exact same situation as Halkett at Hearts. I think you need to play, if he's playing in a three, or even if he's playing, I think he needs to be in the middle of three. And see, for me, you put Berra in the middle of three, it kind of protects him a wee more, doesn't it? Let's him just go and win headers and be aggressive and go and get after strikers.
Benedictus isn't someone that needs a lot of cover, but Berra's the sort of guy that will shuffle side to side. And if you're not winning your headers, he'll just... You go in at the middle and he'll take your place.
Exactly.
If you're being targeted with balls over from free kicks or from goal kicks or that, he'll just go, right, we're swapping, I'm getting that back. And then, you know, he'll put you back into your place and he'll just stay in the middle. Should be able to command the full pitch from in there as well. But things that you spoke about Keatons, who's basically Mr. Championship from club to club, basically at the end of every season, every second season, for him not to be getting a game as well straight off the bench. Yeah, you just wonder how they're going to be lining up. And I saw them at the start of the season and was a wee bit more inspired, but I'm beginning to fall off that bandwagon.
And talking of teams leaving it late and winning 1-0, Kilmarnock done the same down in Dumfries or Saturday as well. Unlikely goal scorer in Jason Naismith, but we'd all kind of predicted Kilmarnock, other than Muzz, actually. We'll have a word with him in the League One episode. Kilmarnock have ground out, haven't they? But you've got to give kind of credit to Queen of the South.
Aye, for holding on as long as it did, and it sounded like
it looks like this is a goal with his team as well.
The threat of Burke didn't seem to have, like, Burke seemed to have had very little impact. And
did you see him? Twitter?
No.
So I think it was Ndidi for Queen of the South come out after the game in his interview and just said he's man marked Chris Burke. See, wherever Chris Burke's gone, he's literally man-marked him. So it's not been like, I'll play my position and if Chris Burke comes near me, then he's my man. It's literally, I'm going to follow him. And Burke had put on Twitter, like, yeah, I think he tweeted the guy and said, like, fair play, you know, you were solid, you were aggressive within the realms of the game. So I doff my captain stuff. So Alan Johnson going a bit old school with old man-marking, but it's not, like you say, it's obviously had an impact.
And if you take away those threats of Burke, because obviously the main one in that team, that's how you end up with boys like Naismith being the only goal scorer, because Burke does so much for you. He creates, he scores, set pieces. Like, if you can nullify all of them or reduce them as much as possible, then where are you getting this creative spark from? And that Kelly team's got some sort of creativity in amongst them. But
it's Holworth and Murray.
When you go through it, though, it is. Burke is so important for them. And again, someone else that I meant to mention last week, like, loan system-wise, again, good seeing his Cameron play and doing as well as he is. Like, that's so useful to have these loans and then come back to your team. And far too often, I think, we see the loan market be used and never see the players again. It's just a chance that you bring them in, have a look at them, loan them out because someone else is going to pay their wages, and then you just never see them again. Like, so easy for Kelly to let some of these players go.
Just on the loan market, before we kind of round up and get your quick predictions for the Premier Sports, I've seen today Livingston are looking to put Gavin Riley out. I think David Martindale had said, you know, he'd come in January, started well, and then he got a 20-centimetre tear in his hamstring. He's got Bruce Anderson scoring goals. He's got Jack Hamilton, who's obviously a benefactor of that loan system you're speaking about. So he wants Riley out till January. He said ideally he wants him in the Premier League, but if not, he's a proven Championship goal scorer. thinking about it, did well at Queen of South previously. Ayr, potentially in need of a goal threat. So there's a couple of teams that might be chapping the door.
Is there really another bold manager that's not at Arbroath or Hamilton? Well, Hamilton no longer, but he's pointed out Newbury and Mullen to bold managers. Is the bold brotherhood alive and well?
Alan Johnson could be there. I don't want to say that, but... For me, Ayr kind of jumped out as needing a striker. He gets on with McCall, I think, obviously, with Tiffany going there last year. Could that be as an option? But I think from seeing his interviews, he's wanting him to go somewhere and start. So, say, for me, it looks like Queen of South Korea would be two decent options for him.
Yeah, and I think you don't want him to go to... He's been quite good, Martindale, at sending players to teams that are similar to the way Livy play. Mm-hmm. Like Hamilton went to Arbroath because him and Dick Campbell must be similar styles. Arbroath play similar style and he could still train with Livy. But for someone like Riley, do you necessarily need him in at your club full time?
Yeah, probably not, yeah.
Because he's not young enough that you're trying to put your own sort of impact on it for him to start. What, like as you've just said there, what Martindale seems to think is Riley just needs to play games.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter about training, he's late 20s, I think. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, what more really can you give him week to week, day to day, that he's not going to pick up from someone else?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But talking of Bear squad as well, you mentioned Morton were quite there.
I think that washout.
There's plenty of places he could go because squads need players, but I think making the decision is who's he going to actually play
I'd
for.
I'd seen Tommy Wright as well saying he wants a striker in, but does he go to Kilmarnock where he's got the likes of Robinson and his Cameron, like you're saying, maybe his playing time's limited. So it'll be interesting to see where he pops up. So I think these are as straightforward predictions as you're going to get for a while, but Rangers, Dunfermline?
Rangers.
I'll back you with that one. Ayr United, home to Dundee United.
If Ayr were slightly better, I'd be worried about Dundee needing this too much.
It depends. Do you get the Dundee United that played against Aberdeen or do you get the Dundee United that played against Rangers? Obviously, Shankland's away. I'm going to go Dundee United. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Raith Rovers at home at Aberdeen.
Yeah, that's Aberdeen.
Arbroath at home at St Johnson.
Arbroath.
Interesting at St Johnson.
A little too large, yeah.
St Johnson go from Galatasaray Thursday night to Arbroath Sunday, to be fair.
Galatasaray to Gayfield, man. I don't know, maybe they'll have the European hangover.
That's a fair shout. I actually enjoyed the fact that the game St Johnson played before Galatasaray was Ross County away 0-0. So a Galatasaray scout was probably in Dingwall to watch a 0-0 between St Johnson and Ross County the week before they played.
I don't know what the worst journey would be as well.
Aye, sure. Right, so that rounds up this Championship edition. Thanks very much. As always, if you'd like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. Any thoughts or feedback, let us know in the comments or on Twitter at TurnstileZit. And we'll see you next week to take a look ahead to the fixtures coming up then. Thanks very much for watching. See you soon. Cheers.
Cheers.